And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. And we got Bing Verbist in with us this morning. Bing, yes. How you doing on this Wednesday?
Good. Thankful to be here. I just noticing the scenery coming up like I always do. We got tobacco, starting to come up in the fields. Mm. So that's just another little icon there that you see. Just talking about we're in summer. We're approaching summer. We're yes. getting to where the crops are growing. Yes. I've been in my garden for the last week or so and weeding. I'm doing nothing but weeding because the weather that we have, the weeds really do love, Brian.
Oh, yes.
And of course, the crops do, too. But
But
the weeds seem to grow a lot quicker. But anyway, just very blessed. I'm not going to complain about the rain. I can remember many, many summers ago when I was complaining about the dryness and the lack of rain. So just leave it up to the Lord. He knows what He's doing.
He'll work
count every day a blessing. Even what we see in the news today and what's going on over in Israel, what would I say about that? I'd say what's happening over there is not something that is just randomly happening.
Sure.
This is all under the watchful eye of God. This is all doing its thing to fulfill the prophecies of God.
Sure.
God is allowing what He's allowing. He's going to lead Israel through this.
Mm-hmm.
They will never be obliterated. They will never be annihilated from the earth.
Yeah,
because that land is designated by God to be theirs forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And He's going to come back and He's going to rule it. And every nation will pay homage to Him.
Yes,
they will worship Him. They will recognize Him. And that's what's going on.
Yes,
God's working His way to receive glory from every person on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen.
Right. So that's right.
We should be, we shouldn't be fearful, even though a lot of times you would look at what's going on and be fearful. But we should be confident in the Word of God,
absolutely.
What it's telling us,
and
then we look at this history and we look at the recent events and just say, we're on our way. We're on our way, boys and girls. So
that's right. That's right. Now, Bing, you're going to go a little bit different direction today.
Oh, yeah. If you've been following along, I've been in 1 Corinthians, and I wanted to share something in the Psalms today. It's a psalm that's very dear to me. It's become a part of my family's history. It's a, it's a psalm that I've memorized. It's a psalm that holds a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, have you got a Bible verse that you can just hold on to, that you've held on to for a long time, and it's just proven itself to you, Brian?
Mm.
A lot of people do.
Not really. I think I just have several that I enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really have one particular one.
Yeah. It's good, though, when a Bible verse or a chapter or whatever just makes itself real to you and proves to itself that it will do what it says it will do.
Absolutely.
And we'll have a couple instances that hopefully I can share of people that you will know who have been affected by Psalm 91, and it's proved it's worth to them and their family. So that's kind of where we'll go. I don't know how far we'll get in this, but we'll take it as far as we can in the time allotted.
All right, sounds good.
Israel's airstrikes have had direct impacts on Iran's principal uranium enrichment facility. An appeals court to hold a hearing today on the president's deployment of National Guard troops to Los Angeles, a move challenged by...
Where do you go to hear the truth? Cable news, legacy news, social media. The truth is, God's Word.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio is a source of truth because our rock is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You're encouraged to support A Voice of Truth by partnering with us to provide biblical teaching and music. To give, go to missionary.radio and click on donate. Together, we're 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
I am Brother Mark Fine, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, used Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Wednesday, Bing Burbist.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, do you have a favorite food? Do you have a food that you just couldn't imagine not going the rest of your life without having before you on the plate?
You know, I think everybody could probably go with pizza.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I like pizza.
Yeah.
But I like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Steak.
Yeah.
Pork chops. I mean, you know, just the list can go on and on.
Yeah.
But.
Well, mine happens to be popcorn.
You like popcorn?
Yes.
Okay.
Popcorn is something that I just couldn't imagine, you know, going very long with that.
Okay, sure. Gotcha.
You know, if I'm watching a ball game on television,
it's
good to have a bowl of popcorn. On the weekends when my wife Cindy and I are watching movies, usually I will, you know, pop some popcorn. When my family comes over, especially the grandkids, after supper, whether we're playing games or whether we're watching The Incredible Journey, you know, Granddad is expected to make some popcorn. And I love it. It's something that I don't know why, but I do. But it's a snack. I know that. But it's also probably my favorite food. And it's hard for me to imagine going a long time without it.
Now, do you like it with butter and salt and all that?
Oh, yes.
Now, do you like caramel popcorn, too?
I'll eat it, but my favorite is the red popcorn. It pops crunchy. And with a little butter and salt, it's really, really good.
It does sound good.
Yeah.
I like popcorn.
So when my son Nathan told me he would be deploying to Afghanistan years ago, it shocked me. There were two things that I promised God I would do. First, I promised that I would fast for Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing I couldn't possibly fast from all food for the 12 months he was scheduled to be gone, he was in the infantry. He would be in dangerous situations.
Yeah.
I knew I could fast from my most favorite food the whole time he'd be away, a fast that would not be easy for me. It would be a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I promised God. I made a vow to God. When you make a vow to God, what do?
You got
to
keep it.
You keep it, for sure, that I would not be eating popcorn from the time Nathan left the United States until the time I'd see him again after his deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing I promised God I would do was that I would pray. I would pray every day for my son's safety. A while back when I was a member at First Baptist Church in Clarksville, before Nathan ever joined the Army, I noticed when men in the military deployed, oftentimes they would be presented with a coin or a medal or a bookmark, Bibles, and we were even passing out camouflage bandanas to them before they left with the Psalm 91 imprinted on them.
Okay.
I learned that Psalm 91 is called the Soldier's Psalm. Or the soldier's prayer, because many soldiers in World War I recited it daily.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what I learned, a commander in the U.S. Army's, listen to this, the 91st Infantry Division, started this tradition by giving each of his soldiers a card with Psalm 91 printed on it. Soldiers then took the cards into battle. They had it to read every day with the hope of being kept safe.
Sure.
I also learned when the actor Jimmy Stewart, you know, Jimmy Stewart of It's a Wonderful Life. That's right.
Harvey.
When he enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II, his father wrote him a letter before he deployed, and enclosed was a copy of the 91st Psalm for his protection. And even in recent years, when we see people going over to the Middle East from the United States, they've been known to read Psalm 91 before going on patrols. So it's often said by reading a psalm or by praying the psalm over someone, it keeps them safe. It puts a hedge of protection around them. So every day for 12 months, which actually extended to 15 months, they extended his deployment, I promised God I would pray for Nathan And included in that promise, I'd read Psalm 91 every day for his protection, his courage, his ability to serve his country well, and for God to shelter him from the physical, the mental, and the spiritual attacks that I was certain he'd be exposed to in that part of the world. And you see the effects of the mental attacks. You see the effects of the physical attacks. You see the effects of the spiritual attacks oftentimes when people come back after their deployment. So I would often suggest, and even today, to those who have a family member serving in dangerous areas across this world, the best thing you can do for him or her is to open your Bible and pray.
Amen.
And included in that prayer, if possible, I recommend reading Psalm 91 over them daily. That's my own personal connection with Psalm 91. As I said earlier, I memorized it. It's become a part of my family history. Now, Psalm 91, we don't really know for certain who wrote it. Some people feel that it was Moses because where it's placed in the Bible. We know Psalm 90 was written by Moses. Psalm 91 follows it, so there are speculation that it was written by Moses also. It's also said that King David wrote this psalm because of the soldier-like terminology that's found in it, like fortress and shield and arrows and buckler. But one thing for sure, and I would believe it would be under King David's direction, that Psalm 91, when the book of Psalms was put together, I'm sure he had an input into making sure that psalm was there included. Now, Psalm 91:1 begins with this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's powerful right there, and that's in that one verse. Now, the word dwelleth in verse 1 comes from the Hebrew word yashab, which means to sit down, to settle, to claim the place, to possess it, and to make that place your home. The word yashab is used in Deuteronomy 26:1, where we are told, "And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and yashab, or dwellest therein," okay, the children of Israel by God were expected to make that their dwelling place. It's also used two other times in the Psalms. First in Psalm 81, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest," or yashab, "between the cherubims, shine forth." Cherubims, speaking of his holy dwelling place now in heaven with the angels surrounding his throne. Cherubims also a picture of his presence on the Ark of the Covenant with the two cherubims above it on the mercy seat. And then in Psalm 123:1, where it says, "Unto thee I lift up my eyes, O thou that dwellest," or yashab, "in the heavens," telling us God's home is in the heavens. More precisely, God's home room is located in the center of his home, which has a name. It's called, it's a heavenly city, and it's called New Jerusalem. That's where he's at today. New Jerusalem is presently located in the third heaven. That is past our earth's atmosphere, Brian, which is the first heaven. That is past what we call outer space today, which is the second heaven. It's in the third heaven, according to the Apostle Paul, and it's indescribable. There are no human words that can explain what Paul saw when he was taken there, either in his body or in the spirit. He didn't even know, but he was fully there, and that is God's home. That is his yashab. That's where he should be because it's the dwelling place of God. It's the called the tabernacle of God. But one day, the New Jerusalem will come down to earth according to Revelation 21:2. And when it does, John tells us in the next verse, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." It's the same place where Jesus told us, he was telling his disciples the night before he left them in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," or "in my Father's tabernacle, are many mansions. They're also called dwelling places. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Then he goes on to say, and I'm preparing. I'll be preparing a place for you.
Amen.
So that's the hope of all who put their faith in Jesus Christ today. In my Father's yeshab, Jesus said, he is presently preparing our yeshab in his Father's house where we will dwell for all eternity. But until then, just as sure as God dwelleth on his throne today in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem, he wants every one of us to dwell in this particular place today that Psalms 91:1 calls the secret place of the Most High. So what makes it secret? Well, first, before we answer that, there's another Hebrew word that I want you to know. The Hebrew word for secret is the word sether, S-E-T-H-E-R, which means a covering or a hiding place. Is it secret because it can't be physically seen today? Is it secret because it's a place where not everyone will be allowed to dwell? Well, we'll answer those questions after we get back from a very special part of our program, my favorite part of the program, which is
Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your hard work and dedication. Trust the Father. From Hopkinsville, I'm thankful for each of you and your dedication to keep Missionary Radio on the air. I pray God will continue to bless and supply every need. From Madisonville, blessings to you. Thank you. And from Tennessee Ridge, I'm very thankful for Missionary Radio programs and music. God bless you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
We're talking about Psalm 91.
91, that's right.
I remembered.
We were talking about the secret place.
Yes.
And the Hebrew word for secret is sether, and which means it's a covering or a hiding place. In the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Brian, this covering or this hiding place or this sether could actually be seen. Mm-hmm. It was a safe place and protective place which was found under a cloud during the day and under a pillar of fire during the night.
Mm-hmm.
For 40 years, the children of Israel were allowed to abide under God's shadow. When this cloud and pillar of fire stayed in one place, what did the children of Israel do? They stayed in one place.
Mm-hmm.
When this cloud and pillar of fire moved, the children of Israel moved in order to remain under God's shadow. Mm-hmm. God wanted them to learn something. He wanted them to learn to move when he moved.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't choose to move when God moved, the abiding presence of God would proceed ahead of them and they'd be left behind. Today, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that's not so. We can be sure we dwell in the same secret place of the Most High and abide under the same shadow of the Almighty by putting our faith in Jesus Christ.
So we should move when he moves.
If we put our faith in Jesus Christ and allow God's Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we have the power to, and we have the revelation of, and we should have the compulsion to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. That's right, to move when he moves and to stay in a place when he says stay.
Yes.
When we do, the blood of Jesus acts as that covering or that sether for our sins. Jesus is our hiding place. So when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see our sins anymore, which would automatically exclude us from abiding under his shadow. But he sees the righteousness of Jesus that covers us and guarantees our yeshab, or our dwelling place, will always be under his shadow. This can be affirmed by what Romans 3:21 tells us, but now, and that's speaking of the New Testament times in which we live, or the times of the Gentiles in which we live, the righteousness of God without the law was manifested. That's speaking of when Jesus showed up to his people, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which comes by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe in him. Again, Jesus is our covering.
Yes.
His blood is on our doorpost and lintel, and that's what God sees, his righteous covering,
yes,
when he looks upon us who were once dead in our trespasses and sins. So today, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we can be sure, after our pilgrimage through the wilderness of this world, we'll have an everlasting dwelling place within the Father's house that Jesus is preparing for us at this very moment. He's doing that right now. He told his disciples that's what he'd be doing. That's our promised land.
Amen.
That's our goal. That's our eternal home the moment we depart from this world. The physical eye cannot see the shadow of the Almighty that covers us today. The unbelieving world can't comprehend the safety and the protection that we receive even in these turbulent times in which we live. But the forces of darkness in the spiritual realm are very aware of those who are covered by it. That's why when people confess Jesus as their Savior today, they often experience trials, persecutions, severe testings, misunderstandings of even family members that they never experienced before after they became believers in Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to know the victory that Romans 8:38 tells us we have. And that's what, and this, what does it say? Do you remember? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Jesus' blood is covering us today, he is our secret place of the Most High.
Yes.
And because of him, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty all the days of our life upon this earth. And then it's not going to stop. It will continue to abide with God the Father, with Jesus our Lord, and with the Holy Spirit forever throughout eternity. Now, I mentioned the forces of darkness. They know those who are dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. And you know what it does to them? It kills them. It kills them because there's nothing they can do about keeping us from entering that holy city of New Jerusalem one day in the future and occupying our custom-made eternal dwelling place. They can't do a thing about it. They can't take away the blood covering of Jesus that we received, when we became born again. It's impossible for them to do that. That's between God and Jesus. That's the triune God work there.
Yes.
The forces of darkness can't enter into that realm.
No.
But what can they do? They can tempt us. They can intimidate us. They can set snares and traps for us. They can hinder us. They can slow us down. And they can definitely sidetrack us in many different ways. And these are cold, hard facts to those who follow God. But these attacks are only allowed by God while we are residing here on earth in our physical bodies and only while we're making our earthly pilgrimage through this world. Those things will immediately end when we translate from this earth into the next.
Amen.
Now, in 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries were speared to death by members of the Aka Indians in the Amazonian tribe in Ecuador, to whom they were seeking to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot, and I know this story has been told at this station many times, he was only 28 years old when they killed him. His widow, Elizabeth Elliot, later wrote a story in a book with the title taken from Psalm 91. She called that book Shadow of the Almighty. And it was a brave and insightful title for a story of a man who died an untimely and violent death as he served God. For to be under the shadow of the Almighty by being a man or a woman in Christ today does not insulate us from the suffering, the sickness, or even physical death.
Yeah.
it does not keep us from the attacks of Satan's forces of darkness, nor from the temptations of the world, nor from the lusting of our very own flesh. When we are residing in our earthly tabernacle, which is our body, mm-hmm. we are susceptible to these physical attacks. Being under the shadow of the Almighty means something deeper than this physical realm in which we live, Brian. As it did for the Lord Jesus, it means the assurance of the bodily resurrection is coming.
That's right.
It's coming in the future.
That's right.
The fulfillment of the promises of this psalm in the life of Jesus Christ came after his sufferings and after his death. In his bodily resurrection, we see him removed by God from every attack he experienced in this world. Mm-hmm. And he was saved from this by God, from all the suffering and mistreatment he took. So what is the takeaway from this? What does it mean for us today as believers in Jesus Christ? Well, this psalm never exempted Jesus from suffering, as Satan in the wilderness suggested it could at his temptation. Do you remember that? He said, do this and do that, and you won't have to go any further. The people will accept you. Mm-hmm. But that was a bold-faced lie from the fathers of lies. But this psalm does guarantee a final rescue from all the trials that Jesus went through and all the trials that all believers go through as well. We have to go through these trials
yes.
to be sanctified, to be purified, to mm-hmm. be taught by God. And that's what it means when Psalms 91:3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, the fowler can be many things. It can be wicked men used by the forces of darkness. The fowler can be fallen angels. The fowler can be Satan himself, who can readily command his demons to torment us any way they can. The noisome pestilence, Brian, is like a rushing calamity. It's like a tsunami mm-hmm. of something that sweeps away everything in front of it. Mm-hmm. It's like what we see in the hate the Jews mob mentality demonstrations that we see all across America today mm-hmm. in these cities, which can take over entire city streets where nothing you can say is going to change the course or stop their rage or keep them from shouting death to the Jews from the river to the sea. But the guarantee from verse 3 is God shall surely deliver us from these type things no matter how bad mm-hmm. it gets. How does mm-hmm. he do that? And more importantly, when does this deliverance take place? We're going to answer that by the continuation of Jim Elliott's story when we get back from a visit with Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. Johnny, so many of our listeners would just love to ask you questions. And so we recently invited your social media friends to post their questions for you. And I picked a few for today because I just know your answers will bless our listeners. So the first one is from Deb, and she asks, Johnny, how's your pain been lately?
Oh, my goodness, Deb. Thanks so much for asking that. Believe me, I appreciate your prayers, and God is using them. Because I have struggled with scoliosis lately, and it seems I have reached a tipping point at the beginning of this year, and the curvature of my spine is worsening. But as I said, God's using your prayers, Deb, because I'm able to follow the advice of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, and I love this, endure suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And Deb, good soldiers don't complain. Good soldiers obey their commanding officer. And as such, they trust that there are good reasons for the conflict. So thanks so much for your prayers, Deb. From them, I stay focused. And I don't complain because the captain of the Lord's army, my commanding officer, obviously has good reasons for this worsening scoliosis.
Johnny, thank you for that great analogy. All right, let's see. We have another question from Julia. And she wants to know, what beauty tips can you give us? You look so young and beautiful. Oh, Johnny, I agree completely, and I can't wait for this answer.
Oh, come on, Julia, Shauna. This is such a funny question because, you know what? The only exceptional thing I do is drink a lot of water. I mean, I stay so hydrated, I consume about 2.5 liters of water a day. And if anything, I don't know, I guess that makes my skin look less wrinkly. It sure isn't night cream. I guess it's just plain water. And Julia, I want you to know that I understand the point behind Proverbs 31, verse 30, where it says, beauty is fleeting. Huh. So in a few years, you're going to see all those wrinkles. But in the meantime, I will rely on my smile and the joy of the Lord and a lot of water, and wrinkles will come soon enough.
Oh, I know. Unfortunately, those wrinkles are coming too soon for some of us here, Johnny. But okay. So Evelyn, she'd like to know, how do you write your radio scripts? Do you speak them onto something?
Oh, that's such a good question, Evelyn. And yes, I compose all of my radio programs, and I do most of the research. And when I write, I use software called Dragon Naturally Speaking. It's software in which I speak into a microphone, and it types my words on the computer screen. And it's great, because I not only dictate scripts like this, but I can cut the copy and I can paste it elsewhere. I can file documents wherever I want. I can even look up scriptures. People like me with disabilities, oh, we really depend on good technology and great software. And this voice activation software, Dragon Naturally Speaking, is, I think it's the best.
Well, Johnny, I know I'm always impressed when I'm watching you use Dragon. It's so interesting to watch you writing on your own computer. And boy, Deb and Julia, thank you for those questions. Johnny, you know, there's so many we haven't gotten to. Could we do this again sometime?
You know, I would love that, Shauna, because I don't think in the 40-some-odd years we've done this program. I haven't done this, so it's fun.
It's about time. Go to johnnyradio.org, where you can leave your question for Johnny. Just realize, you know, there's so many questions, we won't get to it right away, but we certainly will. And Johnny's answers are always helpful. They really inform our own journey with the Lord, don't they? Thank you for encouraging us that way. Listening friend, we can't wait to hear your questions, and we will hear those at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 36:7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Someone has said there are three kinds of givers, the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of a flint, you must hammer it, and then you only get chips and sparks. To get water out of a sponge, you must squeeze it, and the more you pressure, the more you get. But the honeycomb just overflows with its own sweetness. So again, the question, which kind of giver are you? Which kind of giver am I? I hope to be one that is sweeter than a honeycomb. That's what the Lord has done for us. His love just keeps on giving. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just helps me stay in touch with Christ and guide my day and keep me on the right path.
It really inspires me to just keep my eyes focused on the Lord.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
All right, Brian, we left off with a question from Psalm 91:3. The psalm says, God should surely deliver us from these type of things no matter how bad it gets, and that's from all the persecutions that we will receive as children of God today. And the question I asked was, how does he do that? And more importantly, when does this deliverance take place? Well, we go back to the story of Jim Elliot. Years later, after the Amazonian tribe who killed Jim Elliot were finally reached by the outside world, and this was back in early 1950s, and after many became believers in Jesus Christ in that tribe, and that was partially as a result of Elizabeth Elliot going back to that tribe who killed her husband, to share the gospel. And after the very man who took Jim Elliot's life with his own spear became a leader of that church that started in that tribe, a story was told about one of the tribe's women who was a very young girl at the time of the five missionaries' death on that riverbank, who was forbidden to be there, but she secretly followed the men and witnessed the whole attack as she hid on a rocky cliff high above the beach where the five missionaries were speared. She saw the whole thing. Mm-hmm. For years, she kept it to herself for fear of being punished. But when she finally did speak about what she saw that day, and now a fully grown, mature woman, she described seeing white, shining angels gently coming down from the clouds upon the five dead bodies, and she watched these angels escort their spirit or souls, whatever, of the five missionaries up into the clouds. She saw that. She visibly saw that.
Wow.
The promises of Psalm 91 can very well bring protection upon those who it is prayed for over today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a guarantee. I believe that. You know, I believe it. I've seen it. The final payoff comes when we who put our faith in Jesus Christ mm-hmm. breathe our last breath upon mm-hmm. this earth. When we finally get that, when we fully understand what 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, when we can truly say of the Lord, as Psalms 91:2 wants us to boldly proclaim, and this is what it says, he is my refuge.
Mm-hmm.
He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. That's where God wants us to be.
Amen. Amen.
That's where God, through all the testings and trials he allows us to go through, wants us to become.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know we have refuge in him. He wants us to know he surrounds us like an impenetrable fortress, and he wants us to trust him even when the world seems to be raging, confused, blinded, and totally out of control. He wants us to trust him when the rebellion against him and his people grows and expands from what we see in city streets today
mm-hmm.
to the anti-God tsunami that will one day pour over borders of entire nations and will even compel all nations of the earth to join in a war against him. That's mm-hmm. prophesied. That's mm-hmm. to come. Will your faith stand when 90% of the world is wanting to, as Psalms 2 tells us, Psalms 2 now, set themselves and take counsel together against the Lord? And that's speaking of Jehovah God.
Mm-hmm.
And against his anointed, and that's speaking of Jesus Christ. And this is what they're saying in Psalm 2. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't need Israel's God. We don't need a Savior for our sins. We will serve our God
mm-hmm.
by the works that we determine to do for him. Satan's main tactic is to lead the entire world against Jehovah God and his Son. That's his tactic.
Mm-hmm.
A world like that will not be a safe place for Jews,
mm-hmm.
and a world like that will not be a safe place for believers in Jesus Christ either. So I'll repeat what I said earlier. God wants us to trust him even when the world seems to be raging, when it seems to be confused, when it seems to be blinded and totally out of control. And how do we get that kind of trust? Well, I can't answer that for those who are listening. I can't answer that for anyone else. But, Brian, I get it by looking at the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
then comparing the history of the world by what God has revealed to us about the history of the world in his word. Then comparing his word to where the history of the world is today
mm-hmm.
and where he says in his word the history of the world is heading in the future. And when we do that, it should not surprise us about what has to happen in this world according to the Bible before Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Don't be surprised about what's going on today
yeah.
in this world. Because the Bible's clearly said things like that are going to
mm-hmm,
be going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when you read the Bible from cover to cover, the Holy Spirit will show you, among other things, that God is in complete control today, that God is actually the orchestrator of everything that is going on today, and that God will ultimately bring perfection mm-hmm. and good from the evil that we see in our present times. Psalms 91:4 tells us, he shall cover thee with his feathers. So God's going to cover us and protect us in these present times.
Yeah.
And under his wing shall thou trust. I believe somewhere in the pilgrimage of every true believer, God will give us the trust we need in him. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the verse ends with, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. His truth that can only be found in one place today. And if you have, as Mark Fawn knows, you probably have extra, a Bible in your home,
mm-hmm.
that's the book that contains his truth. That's why Mark wants that book handed to people who do not have a Bible in their home or in their village.
Mm-hmm.
You may be holding one now. You may be following along in the study right now. But if you have more than one, some that you're not using, I encourage you to take it, what is it, Second Baptist Church?
Yes.
Friday
yes.
between 4 and 6?
Mm-hmm. Between 4 and 6.
Yeah. Or drop it off here at the station.
Yes.
But the Bible is what is going to give you the information you need to not panic, to not be befuddled, to not be confused as the rest of the world is, because we can trust in what the Bible says. And that Bible you will learn in Psalm 91:5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." Because you learn, as you read your Bible, you learn to trust in God, that He's in control. "Nor for the arrow that flieth by day," because we will learn. You've learned to trust in God because God is orchestrating it all. Any arrow that flies, you can be sure God has a landing place for it.
Mm-hmm.
"Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday," because you learn God has a purpose for everything He is allowing in these present times. And as we zoom through these present times while making our way towards the end, we are told in Psalm 91:7-8, 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now this verse, or these verses, are alluding to future scenes that all believers will see and experience when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, Brian. Mm-hmm. When He comes back, Scripture tells us He will very quickly destroy the armies of Antichrist at Armageddon. We will see thousands of wicked fall at our sides at that time.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the age, when He opens the book of life at the resurrection of the dead and judges the wicked based on their works and not the works that Jesus has done for the world, we will see thousands and thousands of thousands of the wicked fall at that time as they are cast into the lake of fire. These two judgments, Brian, will not come near unto us as believers in Jesus, because we are told in this psalm, "Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked." Why are we spared these final judgments? Psalms 91:9 tells us this. This is why we're spared. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." He's our habitation by our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ inhabits us. We inhabit Him. We're one together after we become born again. "There shall no evil befall thee," as the verse continues. Satan can't take away what we gained in Christ. "Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." What does that mean? I believe it means sickness and death no longer have a hold on us.
Amen.
I mean, it's sure to come in this world, but after that, we're going to experience eternity.
Yes.
And then I'll end at this verse, 91:11 tells us, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Those are promises of this psalm. We didn't make it to the end, but that's okay. There's enough here for people to digest and to hold on to, because God is good. God is good. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You orchestrate everything on this earth. You orchestrate our next breath. You orchestrate the next cell that is growing in our body, and You orchestrate the whole universe. We thank You, Lord, for being the God You are. It's in Jesus' name we praise You and pray to You. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on this Wednesday, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.